Welcome to the Gunnersville Grassroots Podcast presented by Frog Talks. I'm your host, Pat Kennemer. My young co-host, Trey Swindle, if anybody sees him, tell him to call home. We miss him. I'm not sure where he is. We swapped some text messages over the weekend. I told him I couldn't meet first part of the week like we normally do, and now he's disappeared. I think he's fishing. He might have took a wrong turn out of Eufaula and ended up in Texas, but I'm not real sure. So today, instead of Trey and I babbling for hours about nothing, we're going to get Tim Chandler on and see if he can share a little information with us about what's going on the lake. For those that don't know, Tim is a longtime guide on Gunnersville, been doing it a long time, great guy, really knows how to catch them. So we're going to see if we can get him on the phone and talk a little bit about what's happening on the lake. We have got Captain Tim Chandler on here with us. Tim has been a friend of mine for a long time. Been a guide for a long time. Tim, thanks for joining us today.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you having me.
Tell everybody listening a little bit about what the lake looks like now. I know we're seems like ahead of schedule.
We are a good bit ahead of schedule, actually. There's actually fish are already on bed, some of them.
Really?
Yes, they are. The big wave's not on bed. I mean, don't go out there and think you're fixing to find a whole bunch of fish up shallow bed because you're not. But you'll find some peppered here and there. You know, there's a good amount of buck bass showing up, you know, already. So I think we're about, well, typically the spawn usually starts about first, second week of April. And here we are, second week of March, and we're already seeing it. But, you know, it's been a little warmer than normal. But I think things are fixing to cool back down a little bit, back to normal temperatures. So that'll probably slow down. I don't really see them, a big wave. I don't see it coming until April, you know, just like it's supposed to.
You think this will regulate it just a little bit? There's always been some fish that jumped early on Gunnersville, but the water temps jumped way early and the trees and everything blooming.
Yeah.
Allergies.
The trees made up. Yeah, the allergies. The water temp yesterday was 62, was the warmest I've seen. Probably something out there warmer if you got around a spring or something, but I didn't. But I seen 62 today, a little bit cooler night last night, no sun today so far, and I seen 58. So
58.
Maybe with them. Yeah, so when we get these cooler nights coming up this next week, it should move it back down in the mid-50s. That'll slow things down. But
I don't know about water. No, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to say water clarity and in the creeks and the pockets is pretty much lightly stained and clear. And then a river is kind of moderately stained. It's clearing up, but there's a lot of current. They're pouring a lot of water through the dams right now. So all the water in the creeks is just kind of sitting there because they're running it straight through. So,
do you think that all the current on the river pushes those main lake fish either to the bank or into the backwaters earlier than they would go, you know, based on the temperature?
I don't know if current would. I mean, I know if you get a lot of current and it stays like that for many, many days, 7, 8, 9 days, largemouth, in my opinion, by nature, are lazy fish.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you catch one, they pull, and they stop. Then they pull, and they stop. Where a spotted bass or a smallmouth, they just pull, and they don't ever quit. Largemouth are lazy. So whenever you get a lot of current, they'll stay out there for so long, and then they just kind of get tired of fighting it, I believe. And then they kind of start heading off that river and get more towards the, you know, the sloughs and the pockets and the current breaks and stuff like that. They won't stay out there that long.
But right now you think there's still fish to be caught out on the main lake, not just in a creek?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's main lake fish still. I mean, there's still a lot of fish on, you know, if you're used to fishing it, you know what the lingo is, the local lingo, what we call the backside. And I
yep.
know you know what that means.
I do.
But that's a, you know, there's still a lot of fish out there on that. Probably not as much on the river side of it because there's so much current, you know, because that's where they'll go. If you get too much current for a long time, period of time, they're just going to move to the backside because the grass is thicker. And mm-hmm. then they're going to use that grass to, you know, to hide out of the current where they don't have to work as hard to stay out there.
Right, just drop down in those holes in this eelgrass we all know and love now.
Yep, that's right.
So you say the main lake's cleared up some because it was pretty muddy last weekend.
Well, some of it has. The main river channel is still pretty dirty.
Yeah.
Now, some places on the backside are clear. Some places are not so clear. It's all about which side of the way the river's turning and bending, you know, whether that dirty water will go over top of that ridge or stuff. But it's clearing up. I mean, in the next, I don't really expect us to get much rain. You know, they were talking about a lot of rain, and we didn't hardly get none today.
No, it doesn't look like it. There's a little more coming, looking at the radar, but I don't think it's going to be stupid. So,
I think they was originally calling for 2 to 3 inches. I don't think we're going to get that.
Thank goodness.
And, so I expect the river to start clearing up more and more. And then, of course, when they start, TVA starts cutting back, the water's going to clear up even more. So,
yeah,
I know that I think the ABT tournament's next week. They're probably going to absolute murder them.
Yeah.
Because we're sitting on top. This full moon is sitting on top of us, which was the 7th. And, you know, it slows down around the full moon. It just does. It's good all the way up to it. The day of the full moon and 2 days or 3 days after it. You know, it slows down. Yes, you can still catch fish, but it ain't near as good as it was leading up to it. And now when the ABT gets here, I think that's next Saturday. The
18th. Yeah.
Yep. You know, they're going to be away from it and be probably going towards the new moon. They ought to catch them. I expect somebody, I'm just going to go out on a limb here, you'll probably see a 25-pound bag.
Yeah, or bigger.
Or bigger.
I believe there was a 25-pound bag last Sunday.
Was there?
I believe. I normally get results for stuff, and I forgot to follow up with the guy. There was a Heartland out of Waterfront. Willie Staten and Gil had, I think, 25-something. I'm pretty sure it was on Gunnersville because it was those two. And, you know, they're this time of year particularly, they really know how to catch them out there. But I saw something on Facebook where I think Willie said they had 25-something. But I went Sunday afternoon briefly with my little boy in Honeycomb, and it sucked. But it just no way around. I was only out there about 2 hours. We got delayed. But one thing I saw, and I was going to ask you about, is a lot of the areas there, the shallow areas, the grass is 6 inches under the surface.
Right now, the water, they've got the water back down. And I mean, like, I want to say it's almost below winter level. They'll probably tell me different, TVA that is, but there's some places in some of these pockets, a lot of that coontail's on top.
For real.
You know, it's touching the surface. And it's like, man, we need a little bit more water in this thing.
Yeah, they pulled the plug a little too much. You know, they've done that. They've done that a lot the last few years, and I don't know what. I mean, it's supposedly within their operating range, but they have definitely pushed the outer limits of that range a little bit more the last several years, because I've seen places dry that I've never seen dry before.
And I agree with that. You know, I think there was some stuff said about that many times on Facebook or wherever. People argue back and forth. Oh, no, it's the same. Well, no. I mean, I've been down there for 22 years, you know, and I ain't talking about just fishing. You just add fishing to it, it's like 30-something years. But I don't ever remember it being that low at times. You know, it's pretty daggum low. Now, with that being said, the last couple of years, I've actually noticed that I believe knocking it down that low has made a difference in the eelgrass up shallow.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually gotten rid of some of it. You know, I got a campsite up there. You know that. I got a campsite up there. So I see all this grass right next to the thing where I'm up there camping. And when they drop it down like that, it's actually made less eelgrass earlier in the year for me. You know, it's going to come. It'll eventually get there, but it's taking longer, you know, for it to grow that tall.
Right. The stuff that's 18 inches and under, you know.
Yeah. That stuff out there in 5, 6, 8 foot of water, you ain't doing nothing to that. Mm-hmm. So.
But, you know, that also creates another grass line. It's just on the opposite side of the one you normally used to looking for. So.
That's right. That's right.
So, water temps 58, 62, probably going to cool off a little.
Yep.
I, for one, am glad I don't want spring to be over in 2 weeks.
Me neither. That's what happened. We'll go straight to summer.
Yeah, we'll have a shad spawn somewhere about Easter. And hey, there was a year I was catching shell crackers on Easter, or right around Easter.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a little early.
I've seen years in past. No, it's been a long time now. When I say a long time, probably 12, 15 years. I've seen the fish move out to the ledges in mid-April.
Mm-hmm.
They were done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want that.
No, I don't either. I don't either. They'll get exposed early enough, particularly when the BPT yep. guys come here about the second or third week of May. But they'll hammer them.
They're going to hammer.
So, Tim, if you're going fishing tomorrow for you, trying to catch just a fun day of fishing. You got five rods on your deck. What's tied on them?
Well, first would be a rattlebait, you know, lipless. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the first for this time of year. And then number two would be a square bill. Number three would be a chatterbait. And then number four would probably be a cinco. And then number five is going to be like a lizard or some kind of creature bait, you know, brush hog or, you know, just something like that.
Right.
You know, and that, you're just going to go back and forth, you know, just, you know, you can throw a spinner bait if you want to or a swim bait. But those first five that I mentioned is what I would definitely have on from to start with, you know, see how it goes.
So sure.
Right now, you know, you was talking about taking your boy. I was like, well, if you took him up shallow and threw a cinco, you'd have caught some fish.
And I was stubborn.
Yeah, they wouldn't have been great big ones, but you know what? He doesn't care, and he would have been happy. Yeah. You would have been happy. He's happy. So.
Right. Yeah, I was a little stubborn. I didn't slow down. I should have, but I didn't. Are you an orange, red, orange trap guy on your lipless, or are you a shad colored guy?
Oh, yeah. Well, no. There's two colors that's always going to be on mine. And number one is oxbow, which is a chartreuse with a blue back.
Okay.
And then Rayburn Red. Everybody knows Rayburn Red. So I'm going to go between those two as they're just my go-tos. I mean, I still have a ton of the old Excalibur baits. You know, people try to buy them from me all the time. I think they're selling for about $60 on eBay for one of them. And I got a lot of them. They're not for sale. So.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, but, you know, they still make that bait. It's in. Excalibur name.
Booyah.
Yeah. And the paint colors have changed slightly, but not a lot. You know, and I've got rid of some. But I think that's the best rattle bait ever made. Now, yes, there's a lot of good ones out there, but I have more confidence in that bait because the way it feels in my rod, I know when it's a piece of grass, I know when a bass is looking at it. I just have that feeling. Mm-hmm. You know?
You can tell when they breathe on it.
Yeah, I can. And people say, well, you're crazy. No, I'm not. When I get that right feeling, and the right feeling is how it's coming through the grass, you know it's going to produce a strike. You know what I'm saying?
So, what pound line do you throw those on?
Back in the good days when they were guns, we had nothing but hydrilla and milfoil, I threw a lot on braid because that's so thick. But now that we got more eelgrass, I do nothing but strictly fluorocarbon. I don't even throw braid anymore. Because I don't have to rip it out as hard. Because,
right.
You know, the hydrilla, when you pulled it, the stalk and stuff would come with the bait. And you'd have to really pull it to make it break free of it, that was the straggler that was on it. But eelgrass don't really, you'll get in it and you kind of snap it and it's just a little bitty blade and it'll come off pretty easily. So you don't have to jerk it as hard. I believe you get more bites on fluorocarbon than you do braid. But
right, it's that. It's the 5-gallon bucket full of floating stuff that you jerk your bait into that's the problem now.
Oh, yeah, it's the floating stuff that's always the problem. Absolutely.
You mentioned something a minute ago about spots, and I don't remember what it was, but have you been catching an abnormal amount of spots? Because I've seen a bunch of big old spots. When I was tagging fish this year, I'd seen a bunch of spots.
You know, I wouldn't say I've seen enough. I know a lot of them in years I have, you know, they'll get up on these little shallow bars. And when I'm talking shallow bars, we're talking 2 foot. Mm-hmm. You ought to be catching largemouth. Them suckers will move up there, you know, and a lot of these guys, I've been seeing a lot of pictures posted on Facebook where they've been catching them. And that's probably where they're catching them, on these shallow bars. I can't believe that there's that many people out there actually fishing deep.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I've had some folks tell me they're catching them in places they're supposed to be catching largemouth, but they're catching 3 or 4 pound spots. So that's unusual to me. So,
and it is, but you know what? It's good. It's good for the lake. I mean, I don't care what kind of bass, as long as it's a bass, put it in the lake. You know, I want them in the lake.
Yeah. So looking forward over the next 2 weeks, you would probably have those five baits plus, or, you know, what changes a little bit, but it's going to be pretty much this one of the same over the next couple of weeks, you think?
Yeah, it should be like
or that. Get better.
It's gonna get better, and then you can sell those some baits right there all the way through April. I mean, if you want to, you know, the next thing after the the bass spawn is the shad spawn. Mm-hmm. You know, you can throw chatterbait, you know, those spinbait, you know, all that stuff. It's going to be good.
Yeah, it seems to be fishing pretty good this year for those that have gone.
I actually think the quality is better than it was last year. It's hard to say about numbers yet, but I have a feeling that the numbers are going to be pretty good. We'll know that in about the second week of April when that big, huge wave moves up.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's good. But the quality I've seen is actually really, really nice compared to years past. I don't know if gunners will ever get back to what, you know, us older guys call the glory days, you know, when
right.
you couldn't drop the trolling motor down at any boat ramp and never crank the motor and have 20 pounds before you left side of the boat ramp.
I miss that.
Yeah. You know, those are great days. I don't know if we'll ever get back to that. Hope so, but I don't know.
The eelgrass has changed that, in my opinion. I think it spreads them out more.
And there's a lot more people fishing too. You know, that's the biggest thing.
Oh yeah, particularly on a high school Saturday. I mean,
yeah,
those guys, there'll be a bunch of them. So it's great. I like seeing kids get out there, but I tell you what, man, you get these 200 or 300 boats of people with half of them running the boat, don't know what they're doing. It gets kind of dangerous sometimes.
I'm in the same way you are. I think it's great for fishing. It's great for the sport. But I really believe that they need to put a cap on how many boats get out there at one time. Because a lot of those guys, trust me, I take a lot of I won't say the high school kids I take out. I take out their dads. That's the boat
sure.
captain.
Yeah.
And I say this. I mean, they can bash me if they want to. 70% of them don't know what they're doing. And it's dangerous.
No, I agree. You'll see one or two of them getting towed back to the dock just about every tournament.
Yep. And, you know, you see them out there running across things that I wouldn't even think of island across, you know. And
oh, yeah.
it's dangerous.
Right now you get stuck on some of that stuff.
Yes.
Well, Tim, I sure do appreciate you taking a few minutes of your time to talk with us. If anybody wants to call you to go fishing, how do they need to get in touch with you?
Well, probably the best thing to do is you can just call me at 256-655-8292. You can find me on Facebook, Tim Chandler's Lake Gunners with Guide Service, or you can also find me on Google doing the same thing. Got some days open, especially spring breaks right around the corner. I don't have a lot of days open, but I got some. So if you want to get your kids out there or just leave the kids at home and let's go fishing, we can do that too. So.
Thank you much, Tim. I sure do appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care, Pat.
Have a good one. Bye. Big thanks to Tim Chandler for coming on and talking with us for just a minute, helping us fill in for Trey, who is still MIA. Again, if anybody sees Trey, tell him to call home. So this weekend, not a whole lot of stuff tournament-wise going on. You've got the ABA, District 29 out of Goose Pond, Honeycomb, Wildcat. You've got the Mud Creek Bunch is having one out of Mud Creek. They rotate between there and City Park, but they're out of Mud Creek. You've got a bass club out of Highway 117. Then you've got a Heartland on Sunday. The time changes this weekend, and the Browns Creek Sunday afternoon Wildcats start back up, I believe, at 2 or 2:30, and they go till dark. Those times are subject to change. They've got a Facebook group. You might check that out. Looking 2 weeks ahead, as he mentioned, you've got the Alabama Bass Trail, so there'll be 225 of those guys running around. And then next, there's another tournament called the Brave Fishing Tournament out of Goose Pond. It's a fundraiser and a couples tournament. So thanks for listening. If you enjoyed, like, share, tell your friends. All that helps us get found by other people. Till then, we'll talk to you next time. Enjoy the floating grass.